Welcome back to Compelling Conversations and our special CKRZ Remembrance Day programming. Let's get back to more interviews. Here is our next interview with an episode about Tom Longboat. Scano Sego Sigoli Ani, and welcome to Compelling Conversations. You're listening to CKRZ FM. I'm your host, David Moses, and it is a pleasure to welcome to the show three guests we have here on Compelling Conversations. As we get into the Day of Remembrance, we are here to talk about a couple of things. We're going to be talking about a Six Nations member who is well-known and was well-known, and you will know his name once we say that. Here today with us, we have Janine Jameson, who is a descendant of Tom Longboat. We also have Cindy Martin as the cultural consultant for this movie and segment that we're going to be talking about. And also joining us here on the show, we have Erin Haskett, and she is the executive producer of this Our War, which is airing on the History Network on and premiering on November 11th, and you can catch it there. So it's a pleasure to have each and every one of you here today. Unfortunately, also not being able to join the show with us today is Janine's son, Jagger Miller, who is in school, as he should be. And as Janine pointed out, he likes to be in school, which is a good thing, and we're glad to hear that. But welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.
I'd like to start, if you don't mind, with Erin, because I think Erin can probably do a good job of setting this up for us. The show has many segments in it, and there's two that I saw that talk about specific stories and spanning both the First and Second World War, and very fascinating stories, of which one we're going to be specifically talking about. But I have to say that I was also fascinated with the first one, having to do with a black soldier that served in the Canadian forces. And that was fascinating to me. Erin, take it away, please.
Well, thanks, David. And yes, I think Janine and Cindy can talk a little bit more about one of the episodes we're really excited about. Mm-hmm. But just to sort of give you a bit of the background on the series, you know, at LARC, for us to do a history television project and, you know, particularly a show that relates to World War One or World War Two, what we wanted to do was find a way to tell stories about extraordinary Canadians who were contributors to World War One and Two, but to be able to tell it through the point of view of a modern day story, a sort of way to connect a younger generation to, you know, the efforts of these individuals. And so what the show really is it's a present day investigation of the descendants of individuals who really made significant contributions to World War One and World War Two, and really people that we should be celebrating, you know, the service and what they contributed to our country. And I, you know, I've been so grateful to Stephanie Watts and Chris Black, who are in one of the episodes, and also to Janine and Jagger and Carrie Symes, who are in the other episode. And I just think their journey is so special, and also hopefully a call to action for people to want to learn about these stories and to really understand what some of these individuals have really, really done for our country.
And let's not, if you don't mind me saying, let's not, discount every person that served in the armed forces for the First and Second World War and beyond, and either gave their lives or their time and their service for the countries that they served during that time.
Absolutely. I mean, really, these stories are some individual sort of individual sacrifices and services that we get to know. And particularly, you know, as you mentioned, you know, the story of a black serviceman and Tom Longboat's story. I mean, we really wanted to make sure that, you know, as a country, we'd like to pride ourselves on tolerance and inclusivity. But we sometimes, as we're celebrating, we haven't always acknowledged the experience of racialized Canadians and Indigenous people, and really wanted to make sure, as it relates to the service work of World War One and World War Two veterans, that we were able to sort of tell these stories in a way that honors their families and the work that they did.
You know, one of the things that I was very interested to see during these two episodes was the amount of people that are involved that we didn't know, you know, that collected this history or collected these things and have records of them. I had no idea that there was that much out there on the history of people and where to look and where to find and that these connections are out there if people started to look for them.
Well, like, you know, first of all, we have an amazing research team who worked on the production, who really connected the dots of these stories. But, you know, if we didn't have the individuals who sort of had their own mission, their own burning question or, you know, stories that they wanted to uncover, we would have had nowhere to start. We started there and then, you know, had the good fortune of being able to connect, you know, Janine and Jagger, and, you know, Stephanie and Chris. We had the opportunity to connect them with all kinds of experts, you know, museums and archives. You know, it's amazing how much history is out there if we can just go out and seek it. And really that's what this show was about, was the idea that if someone put up their hand and said, I want to learn more, that we were there to help them gather that information. And I feel hopefully that in many cases, the people who participated in the series walked away with some new revelations and also a deeper understanding of who their descendants were in both in the war, but also in their lives and what kind of person they were, you know, as well as having the detailed history unraveled for them. I think that was, again, we had good fortune of all kinds of great experts.
And not only that, people get to see some great images. And if you're interested in history and you're interested in seeing some of these historical documents and some of the things that you may not normally get to see, this is a wonderful docuseries that is presenting them. I think the, I believe it's called The Death Penny. Is that what it's called?
Yes, for Stephanie Watts, for her story, she was on the hunt for a lost death penny, which is a memorial plaque awarded to the next of kin of those who were killed in World War I. And so Stephanie is a part of her mission within the episode is that she's looking for information on her great-great-grandfather, Samuel Watts. And, you know, again, along the way, as much as she's looking for the death penny, she learned so much about her great-great-grandfather's service and what his sacrifice was and his legacy. And I know particularly for her and her father, they really were able to piece together a huge, you know, gap in their family history, which, you know, I want to keep some of the reveals audience who get to watch the series. I know it was a really terrific experience for Stephanie.
Yes, and you'll see that and so much more. And like I said, it's beautifully shot, and you get to see many different locations across the country. And as I said, you get to see some very interesting and informative people as each of these stories goes on their journey and discovers and meets up with people that add to their history of their family and their family members. It's a great way for the history to be told. So just to reiterate, you can catch that on Remembrance Day on Friday, November 11th, and that's going to be airing at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the History Channel. Aaron, will that be repeated at a later date as well? Do you know?
I know that it'll be available on Stack TV, which you'll be able to view afterwards. And I'm sure that there will be repeats later in the evening and later in the week as well. But you can find out more on the History Channel's website and their schedule.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you for setting that up for us. I now want to slip over to Janine and Cindy and welcome them to the show. And it's a pleasure to have you both here. Cindy, you are also related to Tom, are you?
Yes, he's my great, great, great uncle.
All right, Janine, when and how were you told about the idea of this story?
I was told last year Cindy approached and asked if my son and I would be interested in doing a documentary on our great grandfather, learning about his war story. And I, you know, I think we automatically said yes. It was just, included Jagger at first. And, you know, I was all about it. You know, I asked Jagger, he said yes. And then later on they asked if I would like to be a part of it too. So I agreed. And because my family has never really talked about my Grandpa Tom's war story or where he started, right? So, like you, I didn't know there was like so much history out there. Like everywhere we went, everybody knew Tom Longboat's name, right? And the stories that, you know, they had, the information they had, like I said, they made things feel so real. The pictures, they've had so many pictures that I've never, ever seen of my Grandpa Tom before, you know, in uniform, you know, starting out at camp, stuff like that. So, yeah, it was a great journey.
You know, because Jagger isn't here with us, I'm going to ask for you to kind of speak for him in some ways, if you don't mind. And I'm just wondering, what do you think his takeaway from this was? What do you think his sense of the discovery of seeing some of these things, some of these pictures, and this side of Tom Longboat that neither of you knew about?
Jagger was amazed. Jagger didn't really understand, like, the popularity of Tom Longboat, because like I said, like to us, we were always told like that was our grandpa, right? Was never, you know, he was famous or anything like that. I mean, Jagger knew that he won the Boston Marathon, of course.
Yep.
And yeah, Jagger was eager to learn about his journey and his, you know, his war story and stuff like that too. So, he really enjoyed it. He loved, you know, hearing about, you know, what happened back then.
Has he talked about it afterwards now in terms of reflecting on this process of going through and learning about Tom? What do you think he has a new sense of him or his legacy?
Oh yeah, for sure. I think he's got so much more respect for our veterans, you know, especially, you know, ours here at home too. And, you know, all over Canada, wherever we are. We had the one gentleman in the one episode and Jagger was just like, couldn't believe, you know, it almost felt like sometimes that, like the gentleman was with him the way they talked about him. Right. But it, of course it was not in the same, you know, he wouldn't have talked to our Grandpa Tom, but he made it feel like it. So Jagger had so much more respect and, you know, just, you know, gratitude of knowing what he went through and how much he gave up for his community.
There's a question that I want to come to. I'll let you think about it for a minute and I'll come back to it. And that is, because I want to talk with Cindy for a sec, but it's about why Indigenous soldiers decided to go when so much was already working against Indigenous people at the time and still is, in terms of the racism, in terms of residential school. Tom, I understand himself it went to the mush hole, and still go and serve. It's such a sense of dedication and for the cause and putting themselves out there. I'll let you think about that for a minute. And Cindy, why did you want to approach Janine and Jagger for doing this? What was it that made you think of going to them?
You know, it was, I have held the annual Williams family reunion for the past 5 years. And what I found was that, you know, my great, great, great grandmother was the sister to Tom Longboat. And so it was important for us to get together and build their family tree, so that we know where all the relations are. And in that 5 years, then I met Janine and we were introduced, and she was, she was my cousin, you know, her and her son, her children. And so it was important to, let her know that, you know, the extension of the whole family, you know, the family tree is huge, because my grandma had like 12 kids. And so, you know, and then the families were large, back, you know, in each generation. So it's important to know our family relations. And so, just as a question, you know, I ran into her and, you know, asked her if she wanted to be involved. And I let the other family members know as well, about this opportunity. And I know our family is shy, you know, because I've been doing the Tom Lomboat Run for about 22 years now. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, you know, ask somebody who wants to speak because they're really shy. And so, you know, I was just elated with happiness that Janine said yes, and, you know, and that they were open to it and to not only learning about their grandpa, but also, you know, knowing that I genuinely care about family. And, you know, if we don't have family to support each other and to celebrate our successes, and, you know, it's the joy that I see within their faces that gives me a lot of comfort, you know, knowing that I'm fulfilling my purpose and also helping with the younger generation know the importance of being the best that they can be at any age, you know, and to have dreams and to, you know, build on their gifts and just follow through with what they're meant to do as well. So that's what I've learned from doing the work that I do, promoting Tom Lombo in our community. It's just to inspire others and recognize our own heroes, you know, in our backyard, you know, the people who we're related to. There's so much that that we can give and reciprocate that caring, you know, because we have to heal as a people and as families.
Did you learn something about Tom going through this? Because you, as you say, you've been promoting him. You've been on this road for a little while and the Tom Longboat Run. Did you learn something from this process? Did you come away with some new information from this episode and this history that was looked at from Tom's war side?
I did. And I'm really grateful to the research team and to Lark Productions for finding the information and helping us understand the photos and the purpose of those the meaningful details that we didn't know about, such as the photo of him shaking hands with another comrade in the trenches and his boots were different. They weren't military issued boots that would have been wearing. So he modified those boots to help him become a good runner. And, you know, the other aspect of it was that I was, you know, I was waiting for, you know, the documentation about his missing in action type of thing, but, you know, I guess he wasn't missing. Yeah. Everybody knew where he was at the, you know, after that Battle of Hill 70. I guess that was where they thought that majority of their native soldiers were killed. And, you know, there's a significant moment, you know, that battle, that we didn't even know about. It didn't have a name. We just knew, you know, there was different areas that he could have been in, you know, but it was all lumped together as, you know, a battle. You know, so this even brought, you know, I almost cried like about three times during that film, but I think I'm just oversensitive, you know.
Oh, I think it's wonderful to hear that, and I think it just shows that the sensitivity and also that recognition that he deserves for what he did. You know, something that I remember that jumped out at me, and it has stuck with me, and I'm surprised it didn't jump out at me before when I've heard this, but it was the way when Tom was a runner, and he was, of course, sending communications back and forth, and there was the comment in there, and it was kind of like an off comment to some degree, about how he and perhaps other Indigenous and soldiers would use their language, and I think it was the Mohawk language that was referred to, because it was next to impossible for the enemy, the Germans, to understand what was being said. And what just jumped out at me about that was, here we have a nation of people that are being put into residential schools, stripped of their culture, stripped of their language, stripped of everything, and not even thought of as citizens. And here there's this language that helped the First and Second World War. These Indigenous languages, we've heard about the Code Talkers. And this is the very thing that is being stripped away from them and us as nations of people. And I just thought, wow, what a profound thing that was, that the very thing that was being taken away is the one thing that was being used as a service to help in the war. I don't know, did you guys catch that? Did you guys think of that at all?
Yeah, I noticed that, and it kind of welled up in me as to, you know, remembering that a segment where the kids are, you know, in that time frame, you know, like Tom had only spent like 2 years there, whereas other people had spent, you know, practically their whole childhood there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Janine, with that, did you think of that? Had that jumped to your mind before at all?
Not really, yeah, because like I said, yeah, he was in the residential school for a little while, and I'm like, well, he didn't lose his language then, you know, when he did run away from the residential school, did he, you know, I knew he went to his uncle's, but they obviously just carried on the language, hopefully, you know, so like, it's just something he was able to bring with him, you know, and hopefully, you know, not losing that language in that short amount of time he was in the residential school.
Mm-hmm. David, I know that my aunt and my uncle were at the debut on on Saturday, and they had commented that it wasn't uncommon for our Native people to have the knowledge to speak not one language, but sometimes two, sometimes three, but there were people that could speak all five.
Sure.
So, it helped the communication between all of our nations to know some of the words and to be able to communicate with one another. So, so that they were happy to hear that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to come back to the question about racism and the reason why Indigenous soldiers would have gone to war. And I know this may be a difficult question. It may be completely unfair of me to ask that because you can't answer necessarily for Tom or other Indigenous soldiers. But I'm just wondering, do you have a sense of what it was that he was thinking about why he decided to serve? And Cindy, I'll ask you, Janine, I'll ask you the same question. Cindy?
Our people have always been warriors, and, you know, being able to, it was a personal guidance that they have to make that decision. And, you know, I think that they were, you know, looking at a lot of opportunities to not only travel and, you know, work, or, you know, it was thought about, you know, what could they contribute on a personal level. So, you know, I think the opportunity to do something important was in their mind.
Mm. Okay. Janine?
I would say they just wanted to protect our people and our country. And, you know, it seemed like it was so effortless for them, for men to come forward and just step up and go to war. You know, a lot went with their friends from here, you know, and a lot of, you know, their friends didn't come home. So it was, you know, like I said, it was just effortless for them to sign up and go.
Yeah. You know, there's many things in this story that are familiar to me. You may know that I used to have my business actually located in the Woodland Cultural Center, and I was in the girls' dorm area of the Mush Hall for like well over 10 years, if not 13 years or so, before they kicked us all out and started to work on the building because it was leaking and all kinds of things. So I have a connection to it, even though it is not directly from spending time I don't want to say a student. I don't think we can call them students that attended the residential schools. But when that tour was happening and they went down to the basement and below the stairs, I remember that, walking around there. I remember the smell. I don't know if you guys remember if it was like that when you were there, but it used to smell. It smelt to me like urine in that area down along that corridor that you went from the stairs and into the area where the kids used to go and eat. What was that? Because I know they started to fix it up and work on the place, but that's what came to mind for me. I'm not sure if that was the case for you. Janine, do you remember?
I could always feel a presence when I walked down there because I spent quite a bit of time there too with my Aunt Virge cooking. We'd cook for events at the Cultural Center, snow snake tournaments, that kind of stuff. So I did spend a lot of time down there. It was never a good feeling going into the basement. I was always very scared.
Yeah.
But I guess with the renovations now, I didn't feel like quite as scared as I did before. And I took it upon myself to kind of go into one of the rooms that always scared me. Just because I'd never saw that one particular room. It just, you know, it didn't seem like that at all. So it was kind of really the first time I've had a tour of the Mush Hole. When we did the scenes there.
Yeah. The other thing, another person that I'm very familiar with, of course, is John Moses. He's a relative of mine. So I'm hoping to interview him for Remembrance Day as well, because he's always posting and always has great information about Indigenous soldiers and the Indigenous history associated with and around war, and our particular family members who served as well. So it was nice to see that you and they had reached out and contacted the people that you had. Of course, John Elliott, as a survivor of the residential school, being in there as well. But this is really a wonderful story around Tom and around his history. And it's nice to see, you know, a side of him that we don't necessarily were that familiar with the war side of what he contributed, besides his great running. As we finish up, I'm just wondering, I'll ask each of you, Janine, do you have anything that jumps to mind or anything you want to finish up with that we hadn't talked about with Tom?
I just want to say, like, to do the documentary was amazing. You know, I say it over and over again, like the crew we worked with, they were amazing. They made it so easy for us. They made it, you know, it was fun. It was very informative. Like I said, we learned so much from that documentary and filming with them. Like I said, we didn't know my Grandpa Tom's war story. So it was nice to see where he started, you know, at CFB Borden and just the history, the pictures, everything. They had at CFB Borden, they actually had a uniform, and then we looked at my Grandpa Tom's pictures and he's wearing the same uniform. So to actually see it in front of you, It like I said, it really felt like he was there in some locations with us, right?
Right.
Just because of the way the production crew did things for us and had pictures and, you know, and presented us with different items that he would have had along the way.
Right.
So it really felt like my Grandpa Tom was there. So like I said, I had so many questions for him. Like I just wanted to sit down and ask him, like, you know, well, how did you get here? How did you get there? Right.
Yeah.
My big question was, how did he get to the Boston Marathon?
Right.
You know, being so young, like, did he take an airplane? Did he drive? What happened in them days, you know?
Right. Cindy, any final words?
You know, I just wanted to say, you know, this was a great experience. It was emotional. Not only just for me, you know, I know that it was emotionally for, you know, overwhelming at times, probably for Janine and Jagger. And I'm just glad that I was a part of that coming home moment for them. And I just wanted to let them know, you know, that we're here and you know, that family reunion is going to be much bigger this year.
Right. Okay, great. Aaron, while you're listening or you have been listening in the background, what's your takeaway from this? And did you learn anything from this conversation?
I learn something every time we get a chance to connect on this. And, you know, I'm really grateful to hear that it was such a rewarding experience for Janine and for Cindy, because without them and Jagger, again, we wouldn't have the story to tell. I mean, Tom Longboat is someone, you know, when we first started talking about the stories we wanted to try to tell here, we had no idea the contributions that he had made in the war. And so I learned so much. I learned so much about Six Nations and just not just Tom, but everyone who served with him was so profound for everything, David, you brought up here too, just in terms of language and even post their service work, what that looked like. It was, this is a really powerful episode. I think all of the stories are emotional for different reasons. But I do feel like we're giving Canadians the opportunity to really see what Tom did for this country, but also, you know, to learn more about him beyond just the runner that, you know, many people knew. Again, the wonderful family that he's left behind and the legacy that is here too. And again, Jagger and Janine and Cindy, like everyone was so brave for joining us on this journey. And I'm thrilled for audiences to be able to, you know, participate in that journey and hopefully learn something new themselves.
Great. And they can do that on Friday, November 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time on the History Channel. And that is, as I said, at 9 p.m. on Friday, November 11th for Our War. It's a 2 1-hour episode that is premiering back to back this Friday on November 11th. It's been a real pleasure to have Aaron Hasek, the executive producer for Our War, on the show, along with Cindy Martin, who is not only a descendant of Tom and also the cultural consultant for this, but also a Janine Jameson, a descendant of Tom Longboat, and to hear about the contributions that he made, not only from his running, but also for his contributions through the First World War, and to discover, which I did too, Chimigwachinyawagowa very much to each and every one of you for joining me on the show and to share this. And I look forward to being able to speak with you all again in the future. And it's been a real pleasure having you on the show. Thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, David.
All right.
David.
Thanks, David.
All right. Take care, everyone, and talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
My guests here on this portion of our special Compelling Conversation and CKRZ Special Remembrance Day programming, we were just speaking with Aaron Hasek. She is the president and executive producer at Lark Productions, and she has over 20 years of experience developing and producing exceptional content, and she drives Lark's strategy and operations in addition to overseeing the company's slate of scripted and unscripted content. She is a graduate of the Canadian Film Centre and Vancouver Film School, and she currently serves as the chair of the CMPA National Board of Directors, and she also serves on the Pacific Screenwriting Program Board of Directors. Also on this show, Janine Jameson, a descendant of Tom Longboat. She is in the episode of Our War, along with her son, Jagger Miller. And you can catch that on the History Channel on Friday, November 11th at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific time. Also on the show with us was Cindy Martin, as she was the cultural consultant for this portion and episode of Our War as well. It's been a pleasure speaking with all of them. Now, don't go away. We're going to have much more coming your way right here on CKRZ today for our special Remembrance Day programming and compelling conversations. In fact, coming up right after this break is going to be our interview with John Moses as we continue the conversation and what we just spoke about here with Janine Jameson, Cindy Martin, and Aaron Hasek, as well as, of course, her son, who is in the show, Jagger Miller. So stay tuned, coming up right after this break.